welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of May 12th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and soon-to-be birthday girl, Melissa Hansen.
Yes, very soon I'm going to be really old instead of just old.
Yeah, not really old, but it's all relative.
Yeah, I feel like it.
Yeah, well, so you'll have a soggy birthday. No, hopefully it won't be a soggy birthday.
Hopefully it'll be nice and dry.
Yeah.
We've been dealing with weeks. Here in Texas, it has not been a fun weekend.
Okay.
All right.
Anyhow. Have you found any time for entertainment this week?
Did. It finally, cleared up some this weekend and went and saw Captain America.
Nice.
The Winter Soldier.
What did you think?
I really liked it.
Good.
Now, I've seen most of the other Marvel movies.
Yes.
Like, I saw the Iron Mans, mm-hmm. I saw the first Thor, not the second one, okay. Saw the first Captain America. So I've seen most of them, but I'm not, like, completely up in the whole mythology
right.
thing. So that's where I'm coming from it.
Okay.
Like, I have general knowledge, I'm an overall fan of the movies.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Good.
I like the blow crap up action movies, but I like it with some humor and some intelligence, too.
Yeah.
Which... this had in spades. I liked new character a lot. I don't want to give too much away.
Okay.
If you haven't seen it.
Yep.
Scarlett Johansson didn't drive me insane.
She's actually growing on me.
Well, I used to love her. The whole Lost in Translation when she kind of hit it big.
Yeah.
Oh, she was the best thing. And then I just like overload, I think.
Yeah.
And now it's, there's a difference between Scarlett Johansson actress and Scarlett Johansson movie star.
True.
So, she didn't drive me crazy in this.
Right.
She's good. Robert Redford.
Yes.
Like, it's so great to see him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. So, smart, funny. There was a lot of death in it.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like, blow up a building, 1,000 people dead kind of thing. It was like high body count, but it was like walk up, shoot somebody in the head and keep going.
Mm-hmm. A lot of hand-to-hand stuff.
I was a little bit disturbed.
Yeah.
It was a little, dark in that way.
Yeah.
And disturbing and off-putting. That took me out of the fun. So, but anything I had with it was just, like, kind of nitpicks.
Did you like the whole Sam Jackson in the car sequence?
Oh, my God, that was insane.
Wow.
There were some insane sequences in this.
I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that before.
No, like, I was on the verge of panic attack.
Yes.
Just, like, watching it.
Yeah.
If you like the other movies, you'll like this one.
Yeah.
I really had fun with it. Great cast.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like Gary Shandling shows up.
I know, right? And he was in Iron Man 3 as the same character.
Yeah, and Stan Lee has like a pretty decent cameo.
Yeah.
In this one, and Chris Evans is just perfect.
Which is funny, because I hated him I hated both of the Fantastic Four movies. Hated him. I mean, he was playing Johnny Storm to be an obnoxious frat boy, and that's what he was able to do.
Right.
But then he comes across with this character in two very different movies and two very different timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And really nails Steve Rogers. Now, I've been reading Captain America since I was a little kid. And it's hard to, these characters go through iterations in their comic book history. Whenever a writing team or creative team takes over, they take on a different persona. But there's kind of a through line through this. And I think the one thing the Marvel movies have done extremely well is kind of distilling down those characters to their base core. And these guys have once again taken that character, which people thought was going to be very difficult to put on screen. And Chris has encapsulated who that guy is.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much of this goes back to comic books?
This whole story is a comic book story.
It is. Okay.
The Winter Soldier was an Ed Brubaker story from not too long ago.
Is it the same person?
Yes.
In the comic books?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes they change that kind of genre.
But they were faithful enough to keep... I mean, obviously the timeline is different and the characters involved are different.
Yeah.
They were faithful to the crux of that story.
Okay, and is Sam Wilson in the comic books?
Yes, and Sam has been around for a long time.
Okay.
As part of... He kind of became...
A similar former soldier thing?
Not so much. I don't remember Sam's whole backstory, but okay. I don't think he was the grandson of a Howling Commando kind of thing.
Okay.
They have him here.
Okay.
Which is interesting because on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they've introduced another character who is also a grandson of that same Howling Commando, so these guys must be cousins.
Okay.
But credit to Anthony Mackie, who did a great job with that character.
Yeah, I really liked him.
And I'm looking forward to seeing much
more. He's kind of the new big character.
He is.
And I really liked the character, and I really liked him, Anthony Mackie, the actor.
Yeah. So good. And we've got another Captain America movie coming, I think in 2 or 3 years, that's going to finish out this storyline.
Okay. Now, the whole little extra
yes.
in the credits, I don't know.
Oh, you mean the Guardians of the Galaxy tag? There were two tags.
Yeah, so what is the tie-in?
So the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
The Twins. The Twins one.
Yeah, so this is James Gunn's movie that's coming out. Oh, the Twins one is the Avengers, is the next Avengers
movie. That's the next Avengers.
And the Twins are Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Okay.
Who are Magneto's kids.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. And they actually become Avengers.
Okay.
But in this case, they're going to be used for evil instead of good before they ultimately turn to the bright side.
Okay. So that's the next Avengers movie that
yes.
we have to call
based yeah. on.
All right.
Yeah. So that was the tag.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they tagged their own to set up the next Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you weren't the only one with Marvel. I went and saw Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay. Now, have you seen the first one?
I did. I was actually pleasantly surprised by the first one.
Okay.
I liked Sam Raimi's first two movies. I didn't like the third one. And it's funny because I listened to Patrick Bromley and Heath Holland's podcast for F This Movie This Week, which is up on the site right now. And I agree so much with what Patrick had to say. I mean, we're sharing a brain on this one.
That's not a bad person to share a brain with,
no,
I will say.
It's not. And this isn't the first time that's happened. The first one I wasn't too thrilled about because the only reason they created this franchise or rebooted it was to keep the license at Sony instead of having it revert back to Disney and Marvel,
mm-hmm.
which I would love to just see Disney shell up bucks and buy back all of these characters and say, you know what, you guys leave this shit alone and let us do it the right way. This was frustrating to me.
Mm.
The first movie was good. It was okay. I mean, I went in with no expectations and was pleasantly surprised by what they did. I hated the villain, which was the lizard in that that story. I didn't think we needed another Spider-Man origin story, which we didn't. This one kind of picks up where that left off. You know, they got the characters right. And Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield are great as Peter and Gwen.
Okay.
As Patrick points out, and Heath points out, Gwen was never a big character in the books. She was not deep into the mythos. She wasn't around for very long. She was a 60s, you know, female heartthrob kind of thing. And she was I'm going to spoil something, but it's 40 years worth of comic book history. So people
right. So this is comic book stuff you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a twist. I keep hearing all these people reviewing this movie and wait for the twist. It's not a twist because it's there. It's been canon history forever in terms of what happens to Gwen. Yeah.
So for those of us who aren't up on that, just go see the movies.
Yes. Right.
But if you know anything about it, it's right. not.
Again, they cram three villains into this story.
Ugh.
One being Electro, who was really the villain throughout the whole movie. And then there's a tag at the beginning and the end for Paul Giamatti as Rhino, which is just kind of throwaway thing, which is fine. And then Harry Osborn, who is Peter's best friend. And again, another relationship I thought they got down very well because Peter and Harry have been friends for a long time. Granted, in this movie, it comes out of nowhere.
Okay.
What this movie goes into, and it's written by Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci, who are now driving me crazy. I like these guys. They were part of the Alias creative team. They were part of JJ's original team. They helped do Alias. They did Fringe. They did Mission Impossible 3. They did the first Star Trek. They did the second Star Trek, which I absolutely abhor. I wish that movie did not exist. They did the Hawaii Five-0 reboot, which I really liked.
Oh, yeah.
They did the Transformers movies, which I can't stand. So there's a lot of this back and forth, but they are fanboys. So in their movies and in their properties, they did Sleepy Hollow for Fox.
Yeah.
They assume that you know a lot of what's going on. They don't spell everything out for you. So in this movie, in Amazing Spider-Man 2, Peter has graduated high school. They show that. He is going to college. They don't show that, but they make mention of the fact that he's in college. They make mention of the fact that he's now a photographer for the Daily Bugle working for Mr. Jameson, which they don't show, but they mention it. So they assume you know a lot of what's going on around here.
Yeah.
So when they get into certain areas, it's implied that this is Peter's world. You know, it's nothing's going to change. It's all written in comic book history, which the Gwen Stacy thing is, as is the Harry Osborn relationship. So Harry shows up, they assume you know who Harry is, who his father Norman Osborn is. Chris Cooper is in the movie for like 5 minutes and then dies.
Okay.
As Norman Osborn. Norman Osborn is a huge villain in the Marvel Universe. I mean, we're talking massive Kingpin villain. So he'll be back at some point. And there's a deleted scene that I guess there's stills available online where his head is in a jar somewhere in Oscorp. I know it's ridiculous. So Harry turns into the... I don't want to spoil this.
We know. If you saw the...
Right. You saw the trailer. Harry becomes the Green Goblin.
Yeah, but we know this from, like, the old spy, you know.
Right.
Like, James Franco.
Right.
Right? He played him, right?
Yes.
I get him and Marston confused. Okay. But we know from that.
He didn't, but it's in the, it's the very last moments of the movie when this happens.
Who cares,
so
then?
He becomes the Green Goblin, and all of a sudden he knows how to use this glider. He knows he has these pumpkin bombs. It's like all of this stuff happens in a very short amount of time, and it drives me bananas.
So it's just setting up the next movie? Or, like, why is he in it?
And they don't even say that he's really the Green Goblin. He's just this thing that gets transmuted by this... it's frustrating as all get out.
Yeah.
So this movie serves a purpose. If you're a Spider-Man fan, there are moments of it that you're going to say, hey, I love Spider-Man. I love... You know, I grew up watching... I started with the Ralph Bakshi Spider-Man in the 60s on TV. Spider-Man was on The Electric Company, for God's sakes.
Yep.
We watched as kids. I started reading Spider-Man comic books in third grade, which would have been 1975, maybe?
Yeah.
So I've been... I'm well-versed in Spidey mythology and stuff like that, but I'm open to a new interpretation of the character, but it has to be done well. If you're going to tell us a story, tell us a story that means something. That's what I think these Marvel movies over at Disney have been doing such a great... The Captain America story is a story. You watch characters take an arc and go from one place to the next, and they're transformed in these things. This was not a story that was worth telling. So you spend two and a half hours in this world wondering why Jamie Foxx is saying all these stupid, ridiculous things and wish that this character never existed. It makes me nuts. Yeah. And I spent the $9. I didn't see it in 3D. I refused. Yeah. I went and saw a matinee. I'm glad I saw it. I will never see it again. I never saw the first one again. I didn't rewatch the first one because they're forgettable films.
Okay.
Actually, I haven't gone back to the Sam Raimi movies either. I know, I'm getting worked up about this and it doesn't make sense, but I would rather see someone who had a vested interest in the character and had a story to tell rather than just take a movie and say, hey, here's our calendar. It's time for another Spider-Man movie. Let's hire these two bonehead idiots to write a script that's going to sell toys. And God, I can't tell you how much product placement is in this movie. It's ridiculous.
Oh yeah. Oh, I bet. Cause that's the purpose of it. Not to tell a good story, but to make money.
So if you like Spider-Man and you have no vested interest in the character and you just want to go see a good superhero movie, go see Captain America. it's okay. I mean, go see Spidey. I'm looking forward to the day when Sony relinquishes the rights to these characters and somebody at Marvel, like Kevin Feige, can take this character back and make it part of the Marvel Universe, because I think it's deserving of that type of attention.
Yeah, but as long as it's making all this money,
it's
not going to happen.
No, and they're setting up spin-offs and all sorts of stuff. It's just, I think Sony's going to milk this because they've got nothing else going on. They're going to milk this for all it's worth.
Yeah.
But, surprisingly enough, it bombed at the box office this week and got beat out by Zac Efron.
Yeah, and that's what, yeah, I was going to say. Maybe it's not doing so well. Maybe it's on its way down because Neighbors came in first.
Yep.
$51 million. Seth Rogen, Zac Efron. It's like the whole frat moves in next to, you know, this nice little couple and their baby.
Right. Right.
And it's like all at war.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's getting really good reviews.
It is.
It looks so, so stupid and bad.
Yeah.
But it's getting really good reviews, so I will have to give it a second thought.
Well, yes, Seth has kind of made a name for himself. This Is the End did very well last year.
Yeah. At
the box office.
But it's not just the box office, it's the reviews.
Right. Well, and that movie got reviewed very well.
And that's...
You saw it, right?
So, what?
This Is the End.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, and see, this is what I'm saying. So, when he's behind something, you know, I think he's at a point now in his career when he can make the movies that he wants to make.
Yeah. And that's what he's doing. So anyhow, that Neighbors came in first. Amazing Spider-Man 2 dropped second, $37 million. The Other Woman came in third with $9
million.
Yes. Heavens for Reals, hanging in there with $7 million. And then Captain America with $5.5 million in fifth place.
Mom's Night Out, which was the other new movie, made $4 million.
Yeah.
So, and this is the dichotomy of summer movies. You get one or two movies that make a ton of money, and then everything else makes nothing.
Yeah.
Speaking of making a ton of money, guess what's coming next week, or this weekend to the box office? Godzilla.
Oh, boy.
Which I have been extremely excited about, and now I'm hearing rumblings. I saw a quote from a review that said, maybe it should be called Waiting for Godzilla. I'm like, oh, no. Please don't ruin this for me. But we'll see. The other movie that's opening this weekend is John Hamm's Million Dollar Arm, which I guess is based on a true story about a baseball scout who went to India to try and convert some of the hottest cricket players to become major league pitchers.
I know, and I really want to see it, and I'm slightly ashamed.
Why?
Because it's what you just said. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
I'm still going to want to see it.
Yeah. So I will likely go see Godzilla and be able to talk about it next week.
Okay.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, Aaron Eckhart in I, Frankenstein, which is basically the Frankenstein version of Underworld from the same people. And it did very, very poorly.
Yes.
Joaquin Phoenix and the aforementioned Scarlett Johansson in Her, which is the artificial intelligence love story.
Scarlett Johansson's voice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Zac Efron, the aforementioned, in That Awkward Moment, which our review went up, or goes up tomorrow. It's a Streets This Week title. And got mixed reviews on that. Orange is the New Black, Season 1. which is a phenomenal series.
If you haven't seen, pick it up.
Oh, great show. And the new season starts in June.
Yeah.
And then the final season of Eastbound and Down is available on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Over at Redbox, we've got The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug, which I still haven't seen, surprisingly. Vince Vaughn in Delivery Man. Justin Bieber's latest big screen concert movie, Believe, is at Redbox. And then Kurt Russell's Art of the Steel, which Clark reviewed for us this week on Verdict, and he was extremely disappointed, and that makes me sad. Because I am waiting for Kurt Russell to find a movie that's actually going to bring him back to the level of appreciation that I think he deserves.
Definitely.
Over at Netflix, you ready to update your queue?
Okay, hang on. All right.
Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, I like that. I saw that in the theater.
Did you? I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, we talked about it when I saw it.
Yeah, Oh, yeah, you did.
Damn. Enjoyed it. It's, the classic Shakespeare, but kind of updated and amazing actors. Okay.
Yeah. Marky Mark Wahlberg in Pain and Gain with The Rock. Robert Redford, the aforementioned Robert Redford, in Sneakers, which is a really, really good spy movie. And,
That's so funny. Right after I saw Captain America, I was like, I have to go watch Sneakers or something to get different taste of Robert Redford.
There you go. Netflix has got it this week.
I'll write that.
And then Jeff Daniels and Karen Allen in Starman, which is an old 80s love story where he's the alien that falls to Earth.
Yeah.
Very heartwarming. Yeah. Some interesting news about Netflix. In their push to kind of create more original content for people, they are raising their price for new subscribers by $1.
Mm-hmm.
But all of us current users, and God only knows, I've been with Netflix probably from the beginning, you'll remain locked at that $7.99 price for 2 more years.
So 2 more years, yeah. And they're raising it like $2, right?
I thought it was $1.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah,
I think it's going up to $8.99.
Okay. All right. Well, anyhow, new people, new price. But yeah, those of us who have had it are fine for a couple of years.
Yep, yep. Over at Hulu this week, do you remember Puff the Magic Dragon? It was like an early 80s cartoon.
Saw it in a cartoon? No.
It was made for TV, had a very much Saturday morning, Saturday after school special kind of feel for it.
Okay.
But there's two of those movies. The original and the sequel are available on Hulu this week.
Oh, okay.
So for nostalgia folks, you want to go check it out. The NBA and Hulu have partnered on a whole bunch of NBA content. We're talking about championship season stuff. We're talking about bloopers. We're talking about looks at specific players and franchises. So if you're into the NBA stuff on DVD, there's a ton of it on Hulu this week. And then there's a whole bunch of bad 70s Hong Kong chop sake films.
Ooh, fun.
If you want to waste your time on that. And that's all I got for physical and streaming media.
Okay. Well, whole bunch of stuff wrapping up this week on TV.
Yeah.
Monday, we have the finale of Castle on ABC and Blacklist on NBC. Tuesday, Shield, Goldberg's, and Trophy Wife finales on ABC. And it's actually the complete series finale of Trophy Wife, which is actually really upsetting to me. I have really enjoyed that show this season.
Mm.
It's the actresses on it are so fabulous.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I will be crying Tuesday evening as I watch the last one, or, you know, Wednesday. Anyhow, also Tuesday night finales of NCIS is both of them, and Person of Interest on CBS, finale of Chicago Fire, season finale of Glee. But then new show Tuesday night on Fox, Riot. It's this like game show with stand-up comedians. It's produced by Steve Carell.
Oh.
And they have to do stand-up, but like the stage is tipped at an angle, or it's in the dark, or like...
Shut up.
Yeah, I guess it's like an Australian show they're ripping off.
Okay.
So anyhow, that's what we get this summer. Yay. All right. Wednesday, finales of Suburgatory and Nashville. And Suburgatory has been canceled, so that's also the series finale. Season finale of Criminal Minds on CBS and of Arrow on CW. Thursday, finale of Grey's Anatomy, ABC, and then ends of Big Bang, Miller's, and Elementary. For the season on CBS. Rain, finale on CW. Friday, season finale of Grimm on NBC. And Kitchen Nightmares, which just started like 3 weeks ago on Fox. They've been doing like double episodes. So anyhow, and then season finale of Heart of Dixie, Friday night on CW. Sunday night, Amazing Race, Good Wife, Mentalist finales on CBS, Simpsons and Family Guy, finales on Fox, Called the Midwife and Mr. Selfridge, finales on PBS. But Sunday night is, Billboard Music Awards is on for something new to watch. Music this week. We have new music from Michael Jackson.
What?
It's called Escape. It starts with an X.
Okay.
It's unreleased stuff, and it's a CD and DVD kind of thing. So, you know, fans of his, one last gasp for you.
Well, probably not. I mean, Tupac's been releasing new stuff for how many years since he's been dead?
Yeah, there may be stuff forever.
Yeah.
But that's out this week. And also, And Then You Shoot Your Cousin by The Roots. Them, if you can't get enough of them, you know, watching Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah,
you can listen to them in CD.
Nice.
And MP3. And then the Black Keys have a new one called Turn Blue.
Okay.
Coldplay has Ghost Stories out.
Yeah.
And Philip Phillips, one of the best names ever. American Idol. He has a new one called Behind the Light.
Okay.
And a new album from Miss Dolly Parton.
Really? Good for her.
It's called Blue Smoke. Kind of growing up in the Smoky Mountains.
Good.
original Broadway cast recording of Beautiful, the Carole King musical.
Oh.
It's out. And then you mentioned Godzilla. The soundtrack for that is out.
Yeah.
And it's Desplat.
Alexander Desplat. He's fantastic, really.
Yeah. So he did that, and that is out this week.
Okay.
And books. There's a new Lincoln Rhyme series, The Skin Collector by Jeffrey Deaver. That is our thrillery one that's out this week. And Adam Carolla.
Oh, no.
That's a book called President Me, The America That's in My Head, which is very interesting. Lots of girls in trampolines. The Freakonomics Guys. People know the books and the podcast.
Yes.
It's a new one out called Think Like a Freak. And then Willie Randolph, who is a baseball player.
Huh.
The Yankee Bay, Playing, Catching, and My Life in Baseball. That is being published this week.
All right.
In theater, it's off-Broadway, but it's a dark comedy called American Hero.
Uh-huh.
It begins performances this week.
Okay.
Part of Second Stage's annual Uptone series.
Hmm.
And then it runs just for a short time. It's, so I said American Hero. It's about three people who are, quote, sandwich artists.
Oh.
But it stars, one of those people is Jerry O'Connell.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. So I think that would be so much fun to see him on stage. He is just hysterical.
Well, we had a ton of TV moving and shaking this week because they've decided all their schedules for the next year. And a lot of surprises, actually.
Mm-hmm. Everything got canceled. Not everything.
But not everything.
There was a lot. They're really cleaning house.
What concerns me, though, is that everything seems to be geared towards the 20 to 30-something male nerd. Mm-hmm. This whole next season is very heavy on pop culture stuff.
Yep.
So, thankfully, ABC has renewed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is the only show that I watch on a regular basis anymore. And I've really enjoyed it, and I hope they can keep it going. They've greenlit Agent Carter, which is a throwback. It's taking Hayley Atwell's character from the first Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Peggy Carter, who was in the 40s as part of the war effort. She's going to get her own pre-spy, pre-S.H.I.E.L.D. adventure series.
Uh-huh.
Very period piece. But DC Comics is getting into the game now with a whole bunch of stuff. So not only do they have Arrow, as you said, it's getting renewed.
Right.
They've greenlit the spin-off series Flash, based on the Barry Allen character, and starring the kid who we hated on Glee, Sebastian, he was the evil...
At
the rival...
The he rival was Blaine's, from Blaine's old school, and he was on for a season. He was the bad guy for a season.
And he was deliciously bad. I mean, he was
good at it. I mean, the actor was great.
Yeah.
I freaking hated the character, which means he played it well.
Right. So he's getting... the Flash series. They've greenlit Gotham, which we've talked about, which is the Batman prequel, which stars Donald Logue and Ben McKenzie. They've greenlit Constantine, who is this angel, fallen angel from hell, who serves as a private detective on Earth to battle supernatural forces, which is a great series, by the way, comic book wise. They made a terrible movie with Keanu Reeves about it. And now they're giving it a TV series. Rob Thomas, who created Veronica Mars, is taking another DC Comics story called iZombie and turning that into a series. So there's going to be a whole bunch of crap for you to kind of sink your nerd teeth into. Plus, as you said, Hannibal got renewed. Sleepy Hollow has been renewed.
Yes.
NCIS is getting a spinoff called NCIS New Orleans. Meg Ryan is going to star in a spinoff of How I Met Your Mother called How I Met Your Dad.
Yeah.
And then Roberta Orsi and Alex Kurtzman are getting another TV series called Scorpion, which I know nothing about, but those guys are just... I'm going to stop talking about them right now because it makes me...
All right.
NBC is remaking BBC's hit series Broadchurch, which is kind of like a Law and Order type thing.
Right.
But they're taking David Tennant, who starred in the original series, and they're bringing him over to do this one.
Yes, they are. Woo!
So he's going to have, like, Groundhog Day if they're going to keep the same script.
Whatever. I don't care. I get to see David Tennant.
For those of you like Katherine Heigl, which I do not, she's coming back to TV on the NBC CIA drama called State of Affairs. Like you said, Community, Suburgatory, Trophy Wife, J.J. Abrams' Revolution, The Carrie Diaries, X Factor, Maggie's Back in the Game, all of those have been canceled this year. Parks and Rec, Parenthood, and Cougar Town have all been given one final season next year, and then they will be ending. Glee, which was originally given a full series season next year, it looks like it's going to be down to just 13 episodes.
Yeah, and that's a final season, too.
And that's it. And the other interesting thing is The Daily Show's Larry Wilmore is going to succeed Stephen Colbert on Comedy Central with The Minority Report.
I love it.
This is brilliant because he's an African-American man.
The senior black correspondent.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. I'm really happy.
Yes.
About that.
And it's going to be unlike anything Comedy Central has right now. Actually, unlike any other.
Yeah, he's not just like taking over. It's just a new show. He's not taking over Colbert.
Yeah, like, because Stephen went with the whole right wing
character
ridiculous. Yeah.
No, but it'll be good that, he gets his own thing and half hour of just him instead of a couple minutes. So.
Tom Cruise is keeping the Mission Impossible franchise alive by tapping video game scripter Will Staples to write the next script for Mission Impossible 5.
Good, because you know what? The last one was such a great movie.
Yeah, that was Brad Bird, man. I mean,
that was an
really surprised.
Movie.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Another one? And I loved it.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can keep up that quality.
We shall see. And I don't know. I doubt that J.J. Abrams is going to have anything to do with it beyond producing because he's so wrapped up with Star Wars right now. So, and then Hugh Jackman finally will be spending a lot of time as Wolverine over the next couple years because X-Men Apocalypse, which is the sequel to X-Men Days of Future Past, and the next Wolverine movie are going to be shooting back-to-back from May 2016 and March 2017 releases, respectively.
Okay. Wow.
So, and I want to say this will be like the eighth and the ninth time that he has played Wolverine.
Oh, it's got to be something like that.
Yeah. Because I think Future Past is his seventh Wolverine movie.
Wow.
Yeah. Hard to believe. All right. That's all I've got for news this week.
Okay. Well, Kim showed some depth this past week.
Is that possible?
Yes. So on her own blog.
Yeah.
She wrote this whole thing about, like, racism and how, well, obviously being with an African-American man and having a biracial child. And it was, like, pretty interesting. So if you want to check it, you know, it's on her blog, kimkardashian.slubbuzz.com. So you can go check that out. And thanks. I just saw it today. It just came out. Thanks to our friend, the human algorithm, sent me a link to Jezebel supposedly has a copy of the invitation for the Kimye wedding. So we'll be in Paris not even a couple weeks. So May 24th. So anyhow, if you want to see it, you can head over to Jezebel.
Okay.
And, check out the invitation in case yours got lost in the mail.
There you go. Oh, that's interesting. We just got one more piece of information about TV this week.
Yes.
Once Upon a Time, which is having a 2-hour season finale.
Yeah.
Will feature Anna and Elsa from Frozen.
Shut up!
In live action form.
All right, then.
So there you go. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, because it's a big hodgepodge of
Disney
characters and,
fairy tale stuff.
Yeah, fairy tale, classic fairy tale and everything. They just bring everything together, which is kind of cool. How they intertwine everything. So
I gave up on it probably the end of the first season.
Yeah, I did like 2 seasons.
Yeah.
I'm kind of out. But, I do still think it's an interesting idea how they do it.
Absolutely. Do we have a contest this week?
We do. All of you with, preteen girls.
Uh-oh.
It's One Direction. Oh. Reaching for the Stars Part 2, the next chapter. Because, so much to share in their, 20 years of life.
Yes, all that life experience.
Yeah, so new One Direction DVD.
All right.
You can find on the site from Inception Media Group this week.
Okay. Well, as always, we thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for reading our reviews at DVDVerdict.com, for listening to our podcast at DVDVerdictPresents.com, and for checking out our news at DailyVerdict.com. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
But the dew on the rose's cheek, like the tear in her eye, as she said goodbye.